Hey, this is Evan Longoria of your San Francisco Giants, and you're listening to TortureCast.
You're listening to a podcast by and for fans of the three-time world champion, San Francisco Giants. Let's go, Giants! SF Giants! With hosts Chad King and Eric Nathanson. This is TortureCast.
It's Tuesday, August 18th, 2020, and this is episode 203 of the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of your not-so-good-anymore San Francisco Giants.
What are you talking about? They're going to the World Series.
Going to the World Series! It's a 60-game season! They can do this! The voice you hear is the esteemed founder of TortureCast, Willie Dills, man. Welcome back to the show.
Dude, Chad, I'm so happy to be here in lieu of Eric Nathanson, who's probably out there just getting another royal flush on some sort of gaming device. That's what he does now, right? That's his job.
Yeah. When he hits that first cold streak, it's going to hit him hard. But he knows it's coming. He's cognizant of it. But yeah, he's doing really well down there. But he couldn't make it this week. He's had some issues at home, but hopefully everything is good there. And no, we're not just going to have Willie on when the Giants suck. When Eric's not here, he's going to be joining more regularly
from
now on.
Yeah, when we get good again, Chad, which is going to happen.
Yeah, maybe we just need you more on more often, and then they'll start,
you
know.
I will be here.
Yeah, that's right. Well, shit, man, let's talk about it. It might be one of the worst weeks in kind of our podcast history when we cover these kind of weekly synopses of how the Giants have done. I'm sure they went 0-for in 1 week, somewhere or there. But it's the way that they lost these games. So it's been 8 games since we recorded. They won one. They lost 7. They are now dead last in the NL West at a horrendous 8-16.
Well, they were dead last at the beginning of the week, though, too.
Yeah, but they were 7-9 then.
So they didn't move up.
It didn't
up
sound
or down.
So bad.
They didn't move up or down.
Hey, you know what? I guess you're right. If you're already at the bottom, there's no further you can drop.
Yeah.
So there you go.
You know,
that's a silver
strong.
Lining, right?
They
held their position. That's what they did. And then they got the second worst record in the National League ahead of Pittsburgh, who's actually a little bit worse than the Giants right now. But, man, I don't know how much of these games you watched, Willie. They lost that rubber match in L.A. They lost 2 out of 3 in Houston, and that was a crazy road trip. We knew that was going to be the hardest road trip of the year. Okay. It was a 6 of their season and against really good teams, and they went 3-7. And it was like, all right, that's kind of what we expected.
So the Houston series I was very into because, as you know, from and maybe people listening to the show know, my best friend, Ty Thomas, is a huge Astros fan. So we were very into that series. And that series was actually a lot more competitive than I thought it would be. Mm-hmm. In fact, we lost the first game kind of late, right? And then we won the second game in dramatic fashion. And then we got stomped in the third game. That's fine. But those were games I thought the Astros were just going to destroy us, right? I honestly thought that we were just going to get stomped by the Astros, and it was going to be embarrassing, and I was going to have to, you know, text Ty every day and be like, all right, yeah, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But we were fairly competitive. Then the A's came to town. By the way, that was the Astros series was the tail end of our, 10-game
Yep, it was the end of the 10-game roadie. Yeah, they lost 3 out of 4 to the Rockies, 2 out of 3 to the Dodgers, then 2 out of 3 to the Astros.
Yeah, so I was like, okay, you know, whatever. On the tail end of a road trip, sure, you lose 2 out of 3 to the Astros. But you got that one super sweet win, right?
Yeah.
Then the A's happened. And now, like, fuck baseball. Like, fuck life and fuck everything.
Literally. Oh, my God.
Because we were supposed to, I mean, we were supposed to win 2 out of 3 here. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you know, the A's.
We were supposed to win 2 out of 3 here.
The A's are a good team, so you knew it was going to be a challenge.
When we give up 9 in an inning, that's okay. We lose that game.
Oh,
but when we're up 5 and then up 3,
yeah,
in the 9th, we're supposed to win those games.
Yeah, that's bad. So let's put this in perspective, right? So. Sure, most of you know that first game Friday night, the Giants had a 7-2 lead going in the 9th, and they blew it. Piscotty had a grand slam that inning. They tied it up with 5 runs in the 9th, and then they won it with a run in
Piscotty
the 10th.
Piscotty shouldn't have even come to the plate.
No, they had issues that game. You had some defensive issues, let's put it mildly.
Yeah.
You had Wilmer Flores at first, right? So you had a runner at first, and there was one out at the time. And he gets a ground ball. And at that point, you still had, I believe it was a 4-run lead still, because you had the solo home run, I think, that started off the inning. And then
because a solo home run to start the inning.
Yeah. So you still have
then
that
the guy's
lead.
Guys on first.
Guy's on first, and then, Wilmer gets it. And it's like, when you got that lead.
There's already one out, by the way.
And there's already one out. But
there's one out.
And it's so frustrating because when you're in Little League, if it's the 5th inning and you got a 4-run lead, yeah, go for the lead runner. That's fine. There's a lot of baseball left. When you got 2 outs to get and you got a 4-run lead and the tying run hasn't even come up to the plate, get the sure out. Get the goddamn sure out.
It was a sure out. He had the ball in his glove and he decided not to step on first base. It was the most frustrating thing I think I've ever seen on the baseball field. Like, he just didn't step on first base.
Yeah.
He just
didn't. Right there. He's like 4 feet from the bag. He just needs to walk over, get the
out,
and he got 2 outs.
And then not
only
that, but he moved towards first base, and then he threw it to Crawford.
And it changed his mind.
And then he deked Crawford.
Yep.
Crawford, I think, thought, this is what's crazy about it, is I think Crawford thought, oh, it's a tag play.
Yeah.
Because from Crawford's perspective, because I saw a lot of people shitting on Crawford, and I'm like, no, Crawford was deked. He thought that he had stepped on the bag, and that, like, because why wouldn't you, right? Like, if you're imagine you're Crawford, right, and you're standing there and you're covering second base, and your first baseman moves towards first base and then throws to you, don't you think that he probably stepped on the base?
Yep.
And now it's a tag play? And I know that, like, you're supposed to call that out, right? Anybody who's played baseball knows that, like, you're supposed to call out tag play or force play, right? Mm-hmm. Like, other people are yelling at you. But it's very fast, right? So if you are Crawford, like, because I saw people shitting on Crawford, and I'm like,
no, you can't.
Yeah, Crawford's not the problem here.
Like, he's not the problem. It should never have been thrown to him, period. So yeah. He's not the problem. And he could have been potentially fooled. And he certainly was delayed getting to the bag because he's like, oh, he's going to first. Oh, wait, no, he's throwing. Like, what the hell's going on here?
Yeah. And Crawford did pull his leg off the bag, which was something he shouldn't have done. But he pulled his leg off to try to get a better position for the tag. Like, if you watch it in slow-mo, you can see Crawford's, like, thought process happening, right? Crawford thinks, okay, he got the force at first. Now I got to get the tag at second. And unfortunately, that wasn't the case. Like, he didn't get the force at first. And then randomly decided to throw to Crawford. It was one of the most boneheaded plays I think I've ever seen.
And it doesn't go as an error, you know, that's the thing. It's just, it's one
no,
of those
of course
mental
not.
Errors.
It's a know? Mental error, but it's, mm-hmm. yeah. But I can get behind, like, you know, a ball going through someone's legs, right? That's fine. But this was just a straight up fucking brain fart. Like, this was just a guy doing something super stupid. The one thing that I can agree with SF Giants Twitter about is that the biggest problem was that we left Flores in as the first baseman in the 9th inning when we had a 5-run lead. And it should have been Brandon Belt playing first base. Because we had a 5-run lead. And we had Brandon Belt on the bench. Mm-hmm. Why is he not playing first base? If we're bringing in Crawford for defensive reasons, why are we not bringing in Brandon Belt, right?
Because yeah, it's really odd.
Brandon wouldn't make that play. Brandon would have stepped on first and then looked at second.
Yeah.
Flores, on the other hand, is a guy who plays, what, like five positions? I can't be mad at him either because it's not his main position. Like I want to be mad at him. I am mad at him, but I understand that he's also being put into a position he's not really equipped for. He's not a first baseman.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, I misspoke. The inning didn't start with a home run. Chapman popped out, then Olsen homered.
Yeah, there was one out already when the home run happened.
Yeah, but here's how the inning developed, right? I mean, again, besides the two homers, which, I mean, yeah, kudos to the A's, right? Everyone got on base from either mental mistakes, walks, or hit by pitches. So then Canna walks.
And then also blasting the ball out of the fucking stadium.
Yeah, which we'll talk about more of that later.
The A's are actually very good. Let's be real. Like, the A's are very
good. The A's are very good.
And they actually have the most come-from-behind wins in the majors this year.
Yeah.
They're good at this. They're good at coming from behind.
That was unbelievable. But yeah, then you get that forced play, mental error. Then Chris Davis was hit by a pitch that loaded the bases, and then Piscotty hit the grand slam. So yeah. I mean, it was just like there's four runs on two hits.
It was a shit show. It was an absolute shit show.
Yeah. It was a shit show. And the sad thing is, you know, the Giants still had a chance in extra innings, but that just wasn't meant to be. So I mean, once a team scores five in the ninth to tie it, you're like, why are we even playing? Just give them the W. You know, it's over.
Okay, so let's also talk about that. So the extra innings. Okay. So, yeah, first of all, the Giants completely shit the bed when it comes to defense. And we're all going to, like, blame Gott, but Gott didn't really get a fair shake as far as his defense was concerned, right? So, mm-hmm. You know, let's give him a little bit. Obviously, he shit the bed the next night and then the next night after that. But on that particular night, he should have gotten the three outs if the defense had done what they were supposed to do, right? Because let's imagine he gives up a two-run homer instead of a grand slam.
Yeah.
So anyway, but my point is that then in the 10th inning, because they tie the game. They don't actually win the game there. Then the 10th inning, the A's, you know, get a runner on. They have the runner on second. Sorry. Yep. Get a runner on.
Get a runner. Earned it.
I mean, start with a runner on second. We go three up, three down, and they score a run.
Yeah, there was a ground out, sack fly, and a ground out. But they got the runner.
Yeah. Yep. Three up, three down. Runner scores.
Yep.
That's not a thing you'd ever normally hear.
It's not a thing. Yeah, I know.
But the Giants strike out three times in the extra inning.
Yeah, Belt, Dubon, and Yaz. 1-2-3. Boom, boom, boom.
Just three strikeouts.
Yep.
So, okay, my question to you, Chad, is this. Why are teams not just bunting the first guy up? Just bunt the guy to third.
It depends on the situation, right? But I think as visiting team, you don't know what the home team is going to do. So try to get that run in.
Unless it's like your number three hitter.
Yeah.
Why are you not just bunting the guy to third?
Oh,
And trying to get that guy in with one out.
I'm 100% with you. I think when your visitor... You know, when you're on the road, you do that. And I think when you're home, after the visitor didn't score, you do that.
Or if they did score, if they scored one.
Or maybe if they scored one, because you can try and tie it, yeah.
Yeah, in this situation, they scored one.
Yeah.
Bunt the guy to third. Now a pop fly gets him home.
Yeah. Like, no, it's something that they've talked about. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I know the percentages are actually in favor of they're higher to score one run when you do that as of not. Now, of course, the percentages are higher. You're going to score multiple runs if you don't do that. But generally, that's not usually what you're trying to do.
We yeah. need one.
Exactly. Exactly. That's the point.
And by the way, the Giants are not like a three-run homer kind of team.
No, no. Ironically, of course, Pence did hit a three-run home run in the third inning.
We're a scrap and claw kind of team. Like, let's do some bunting, man.
Yeah. I was going to go to that game, actually. I applied for credentials. And
I remember you texted me and Eric, and you were like, thank God I didn't go, because I would have driven home hammered. Which makes a lot of sense to me, because yeah, like imagine watching that. Oh, imagine man. Watching your team be up 7-2 in the ninth inning and losing. And then being like, now I have to drive 2 hours or 3 hours or whatever it is back to Gilroy.
Yeah, no, I'm really glad I ended up not going. But hey, by the way, so did you, I don't know if you saw this information come out from Baggerly. I don't have the tweet in front of me, but I remember the number. Do you remember the last time, the year in which the Giants blew a 5-run or more lead in the ninth inning and lost the game?
I actually did see this tweet, and it was like, what, like the 1800s? It was like
not quite 18... that far. It was 1929.
Wow. 1929. Okay, so almost. Yeah.
But 91 years ago. 91 yeah. years ago was the last time. And that covers a stretch of over 2,200 games. So this is a rarity, guys. I mean, this is like a once in a every other generation kind of loss. And it hurt real bad. But, you know, you got to think of it this way. It was going to happen every century. So yeah, why not happen? Yeah. Why not happen when they really suck? And it didn't sure. happen like when they were trying to clinch the West against the Padres in 2010. Sure. Or
it didn't happen in Game 7 of the World
Series. Or Game 7 of the World Series. Yeah. So you know, you got to, you know, look at your silver linings here. But jump to the next day, and they're in a very similar situation. This time they got a 6-3 lead.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, and everybody was joking. Everybody was being sarcastic on Twitter, going like, hold on to your butts. Can't do it again. There's no way it can happen again.
There's no way.
Au contraire. It was like Trevor Gott's like, hold my beer. You know?
Yeah. You know what's that was funny bad. Too is that when the 7-8 game happened, I think I texted you guys and I said, okay, this is when Gott loses his closer status.
Yeah.
Like they're not gonna use him the next day.
Yeah, there's no way. There's no way, right?
Yeah.
that was the game in which the A's led off with the home run. I remember it. Gott came out, first pitch, boom. And then everybody on Twitter's like, oh my God, no way. This is happening again. Like, this can't. Is happening again. And then it was a pop out.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
And then you had Tony Kemp and you had the Giants defense failing again. He hits this it wasn't a gapper, but it was just a pop fly between right and center.
Well, yeah,
and Hunter so Pence comes running in. Yeah. He does like a fish hook, right? He comes in and he's like, oh, crap, that's over my head. And then he turns around and it lands, whatever, 3 feet over his outstretched glove. If, of course, he had taken a normal approach to the ball, he would have gotten it no problem. In fact, the expected batting average on the trajectory, according to StatCast, was less than 5%. So, I mean, it wasn't, quote, routine. It wasn't a can of corn. But it was it was a ball that would have been caught 95 times out of 100.
Can I just say something, though? Hunter Pence, I love him so much.
Oh, man, I know.
He is not known for, like, taking great routes to balls.
No.
His greatest play as a Giant, as a right fielder, is a ball where he took an absolute dog shit route to the ball and still managed to, like, back up into the fence.
Yeah,
and catch
leap.
It. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like he's known for, you know, picking it up off the bat. Like, it's not his strong suit.
No, straight lines are rare for him.
When in left field, he completely lost the ball. Like,
And it sucks because, again, that would have been two outs, right? And I know there's the butterfly effect. So, you know, people go, oh, the next guy got out. That would have been the third out. Well, you know, things are different because he wouldn't have been pitching from the stretch. So it would have been a different pitch. It would have been this exact same result. But the point is, Chapman did line out next. But instead of the third out, it was the second out. Then you have Matt Olson comes up. And this is what really ticked me off, man. What the hell was Gott thinking? It was that unintentional, intentional walk. He wanted no part of Olson. It was clear, it was obvious. He threw all around him. Then at 3-0, he poured one down the middle. So you could tell what he was doing. And then number four was way out of the strike zone again. And it's like, you literally just put the tying run on base. You just don't do that.
Completely backwards. You're right. Yeah, absolutely.
You don't put the freaking tying run on base. And then
he doesn't have confidence in his stuff.
That's what it showed right there. Because look, the worst he could do was tie the game, and granted, that would have been horrible. But now you got the winning run, or the go ahead run, up the plate, in a very capable
way. The winning run actually matters here.
And then it mattered because, of course, Canna, by the way, alma mater of my high school, Bellarmine. Freaking homered, 3-run bomb. A's go up 7-6. Giants whimper out the ninth, and that's it. So. Yeah. They lost again in dramatic, horrendous, horrible fashion. And everybody's thinking.
But Chad, guess what? There's another game tomorrow.
There's another game. Let's get back out there. Let's get this bad taste out of our collective mouths, right? Let's go salvage the series.
We're going to get him tomorrow.
get right back on the horse. Yeah, that horse bucked the shit out of the Giants the next day. Horse is like, get off me.
Yeah,
I don't need you on my back. Yeah, no, the Giants absolutely shit the bed the next day, and much worse. The silver lining was they didn't blow a ninth inning lead.
They did not blow a save. Yeah, no blown saves on August 16th. Yeah,
that was bad. So yeah, the A's and Giants were tied 2-2 in the fifth or whatever it was, fourth or fifth. Yeah, it was the fifth.
But dude,
and the A's
Crawford
put up a
hit a home run.
Nine spot.
That was sweet. You know, yeah.
Yeah, you had Brandon Belt and Crawford went a combined 5-for-7 and 2 home runs. And that's about where it ends. So,
the rest of the team. I mean,
some of these veterans are struggling right now. So, I mean, it was good to see that. But other than that, it was an absolute mashing by the A's. Yeah. I mean, they hit 9 home runs.
9 runs in one inning.
Yeah. Yeah, that's little league numbers, you know? That's like.
That's not normal.
That's not normal. They hit 3 home runs in the game, all 3 that inning. And the distance those things carried, oh my God. That one that was 454 feet landed just a few rows below the mitt, the glove out there. It was one of the – it was like Galarraga territory. That was
– yeah.
They mashed. They absolutely mashed. The Giants look pathetic. They just look pathetic. So, you know, they lose that one 15-3. They get swept now at home when they should have won 2 out of 3. Obviously. Now the Giants are just playing like, I don't know, man. These are professionals. Don't get me wrong. You always hear Kruko, who's, you know, obviously the biggest homer out there, just saying these guys are pros. They'll just shake it off. They'll come right back out tomorrow and they'll be all right. They'll be all right. That's just, you know, the cure is more baseball. That's the tonic they need. And so they fly down to LA to play the Angels. They play decently well. They got a 6-5 lead going in the ninth. And freaking Gabe Kapler puts Gott out there for a third consecutive save situation. I'm sorry, man. I kind of get putting him out there a second night in a row, kind of like get back on the horse kind of thing. But two blown saves like that, it's got to be affecting his confidence. He needs some time out, man. He needs some time off. You know, you got to go with a Watson or someone else. And
okay,
he throws him
can
right
I
back
ask
out
you
there.
A question, though?
Yeah.
Who do you put out instead?
I don't know who was playing because I didn't watch the end of the game. So I don't know if Watson pitched at all. He did. Yeah, he had the hold in the
But like, okay, so inning. Is that your guy?
No, I mean, I would have rather had Watson go for the ninth.
Do we need to like find another guy? Because we have to find another guy, right? If we're gonna give up on Gott.
Yeah.
We gotta, like, who is it then?
Well, he hasn't made that announcement because after yesterday's game.
Okay. And this you texted me like, all right, we can do this show. I'm like, I think I might push against you a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, let's go back to the closers of yore. They would
Armando Benitez.
they would blow saves and they wouldn't suddenly not be the closer anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Let's talk about the beard. Let's talk about, you know, even all the way back. Like, we could go all the way back, dude. Like, you don't, as a manager, just give up on a guy because he blew two saves, right? So
I said give him time.
When I look on Reddit and people are like, fire the manager.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm not there.
Because, yeah, no, it's crazy. Because it's like, yo, do you remember Rod Beck putting a runner on third every single time he got a save? Like,
oh, yeah.
This happens. You know?
Hey, look, and Brian Wilson went through streaks where he had two or three blown saves in a row. Rob Nen.
That's why this podcast is called Torture Cast. It's because of Brian Wilson. Because
of Brian Wilson, exactly. Everything was always a grind out 2-1 win.
There was a runner on third instantly. Yeah,
I know.
And then he'd strike the fucking next two guys out. Like, that's great and all. And Gaunt does have the stuff. He's got the 98 mile an hour fastball, and he's got the sweet slider, and he's got the whatever, right?
Yeah.
So he's got the stuff. He just hasn't put it together yet. So I guess my argument is that as a manager, do you just give up on a guy because two games were bad?
No, and that's not what I was suggesting. I don't mean like he should. That's it. You've lost the closer role. I thought he needed a break. I need to see someone else in there, just as a break. It's like, okay, this time we're gonna let someone else take it. Not a permanent thing. It's like a temporary thing. Because I think personally that Gott was effed in his mind. I was afraid for him going out there again, having just those demons.
He definitely destroyed now.
Yeah, definitely now. Right. So, I mean, look, Tony Watson pitched the eighth. I understand. And we do need a guy who holds that inning. I get it. He's a good setup guy. But at the beginning of the season, I actually even drafted Tony Watson on my fantasy team because I thought he was the best qualified for the closer role. And then I was kind of surprised Gott was in there. And so far, Watson's got a 1.35 ERA. Yes, I know this is all like lower sample sizes, but he's been the only one of maybe two above average or shining stars of the bullpen, because the whole bullpen, we'll get into those numbers in a bit, all of them have collectively crapped the bed.
We don't have a lot of great numbers out of our bullpen.
But,
right,
I mean, let's just look at Trevor Gott. Like, look, bad, you know, appearances happen and your ERA can get inflated, right?
Before he gave up three games in a row,
mm-hmm.
he had a 1.5 ERA and was mowing people down.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess my point is that, like, so people are like, fire Gabe Kapler. Like, Kapler sucks. He's the worst. And I'm like, I think that every single Giants manager we've ever had would have stuck with him through three games. Now, maybe after these three games, they might have changed their tune. If you look at, like, okay, why was Sergio Romo our closer in mm-hmm. 2014, right? And it was because Santiago Casilla kind of shit the bed, right? But Santiago Casilla was given a pretty long leash before that. But he was supposed to be the guy to, like, end that game. And then it turned out that he wasn't the guy. And then Bochy said, it's going to be Romo. Romo was, like, the eighth inning guy, the seventh inning guy, right? We're in a 60-game season. I think it's a little early to, like, just, like, shit on Kapler and just say he doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. He's also dealing with brand-new rules. Can't just move a guy in and out. It has to be three hitters. So he's trying to figure shit out, man. He's trying to work with what he's got here. And what he's got is got.
What he's got is got.
Yeah, it's got hard damn. For him. I don't know. Like, I'm on these game threads on Reddit, and it's like people are like, fire Kapler. Oh, Kapler's the worst. I'm like, bro, do you think he's got, you know, the best fucking relievers in the business?
Hey, he doesn't have the tools.
Through? Like, what's the guy after Gott? Do you think the guy after Gott is definitely not going to give up these home runs? Because I don't know that they are. The next guy after Gott is a fucking another guy in our bullpen, and our bullpen is fucking trash. Like,
it is. It's just trash, you know. And you're right. I mean, going into that A's game, that, you know, he gave up five runs in a third of an inning, right? 500 runs in a third of an inning. Yeah, he'd only given up two.
By the way, wasn't all his fault.
No, because he had the force play issue that we talked about with Wilmer Flores, because that goes as an earned run, right? Because it wasn't an error. Exactly. Yeah. So, and you're right. Those things that, and then same with the next night, Hunter Pence goes around that fly ball. It gets recorded as a
route.
It takes as a double.
Getting fucked by our defense. And then it all looks like it's all in the pitchers and it's all in the manager. Like,
yeah. For me, it wasn't necessarily just about the performance. It was more, again, about the mental aspect. I just thought he needed a break. And that's just my opinion.
Sure. No, that's totally fair. Yeah.
You know, because like right now, and again, you have the Wilmer Flores and the Hunter Pence or whatever, but he's got 7 1/3 innings pitched. So he's got, you know, hardly anything this year. But he's given up 6 home runs in those 7 innings and 5 walks and overall 10 hits. So, I mean,
below 2 saves, what you should do is probably get Tyler Heineman or Pablo Sandoval on the mound.
We didn't even talk about that. That's right. So when the A's were trashing him, everybody was like, let Pablo pitch. But, you know, he's still recovering from the Tommy John surgery, so he's not in any case or condition to go out there. So they get Tyler Heineman to go out there, and he goes an inning and a third. But now everything was hit hard.
Tyler
everything
right
was
now
hit hard.
The best whip. And the best, he's just the best pitcher. Like when you look up like our stats, our season stats.
Oh, it's so funny.
By the way, Cahill is close, right? So maybe we got some stuff.
I think Cahill's going today, actually, in a couple hours here. Yeah, I think so. I think this is gonna be his first start of the year.
Okay, so here's the thing. So all right, so I'm in the text with you and Eric. Eric is like, you know, fuck our manager. We should have done this. If it's your closer, Gott, who you think has the best stuff, and he's given up, you know, he's got the tying run at the plate, who's the guy you go to? What's the super sweet arm that you, like, you don't have?
What, you haven't heard of him? He's let's see. God, it's on the tip of my tongue.
You don't, like, exactly. Tyler Rogers is the only guy he seems to continue to go to.
Yeah, he's been using him heavily.
Has given up a shit ton of fucking runs. Like,
yeah, he has.
Is it Coonrod? Is it Anderson? Like, who is it? Who
again? So what happened last night?
You don't have these guys like you used to have, right? Like Bochy had guys he could go to. Who can we go to? Like, what's the guy? What's the guy that shuts it down?
Yeah. Again, for me, it's always been from the beginning of the year, and it more so is now, is Tony Watson. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
he had hold in the eight.
Yeah, Watson's the thing.
But because, you know, he had experience from last year. And
actually, let me look, though. Watson, okay, he's pitched 6.2, 1.35, given up one home run and 4 hits. Okay, I guess that's the guy. But, like, dude, Bochy had guys. Bochy had guys he could go to. He could go to Affeldt, right? Like, he could be like, Affeldt will get me out of this inning, you know? Romo could get me out of this inning, and then we get to Brian Wilson. Like, people are shitting on our manager as if he has those tools.
Oh, I totally and utterly agree with you there. Obviously, I'm connected a lot of Facebook group pages because we post, you know, I post the podcast there and everything like that. It's not Maybe in a normal world, I would never have joined these groups because they are full of raging idiots. It's much like the political landscape.
Dude, Reddit,
right?
Dude, Reddit threads.
And I haven't even been on a Reddit day thread.
People are like literally like fire everybody, throw everybody under the bus because we're losing one game. And I understand that. But
There's some people that fly off the handle. We don't tend to do that on this podcast.
It's
right?
Not how baseball works.
No, it's not how baseball works. Again, it's a marathon. Now, this year is definitely a sprint. Every game is worth three. That's why these losses are magnified.
Like seventh place. That's the idea.
You know, I had weird residual kind of like maybe, you know, when they were hanging around 500, like if they could just hang around 500 and then make a late push, maybe they could sneak into that eight slot, you know, and anything could happen from there. Yeah, that's not my thought process anymore.
No, that's gone.
The reality is,
like, okay, so in our season preview, I said 35 wins.
Yeah.
That was just me being a dummy. Like, I was just trying to be funny.
Yeah.
Come on. Well, if we get 20 wins, we'll be lucky.
I know. I think I'm not looking at it right now, but I think I said 24. And I think that is now too high. I know. It's like, holy crap, man. We're going to be stuck at eight. But, you know, I never even summarized it for those of you out there. So the game yesterday, Gott comes out for a third consecutive save opportunity, and everybody's freaking out, obviously, on Twitter. Ground ball. All right. Gets the first out, single, and then home run. And it was just like, it was over before you knew it. And it was a walk-off.
Here we go.
And so now Gabe Kapler, of course, was asked once again, do you still have confidence in Trevor Gott? And I'm paraphrasing, but he said, oh, I still have confidence in him in the long term. But right now, we're basically, he needs a soft landing spot, I think is the words he used. So they're going to go with someone else for the interim. Who knows how long, right? And like you said,
who else is
besides
it? Is
Watson,
it,
I don't
is
know.
It Wandy? Like Wandy could be a thing, right?
And he was pummeled in against Oakland, right? So it's like, I mean, the whole bullpen just sucks right now.
Yeah.
I know,
I mean,
a lot of
like
these are
Gott's
based off
like the guy
of
one with the
outing.
Best stuff, so.
Yeah, no, he throws hard. He's got good stuff, but and like you said, we got Tyler Rogers with an 8.25, Berrigar with a 10.0, Peralta with a 9.35, Trevor Gott with a 14.73. Wow. Rico Garcia 7.5, and a Derek Rodriguez who was just called up, and he was the sacrificial lamb in that A's game. He was just left out there to absorb innings. He has a 13.5.
I mean, yeah, Derek is our soaker.
Yeah, he was out there just soaking it up. And I mean, and so far overall, like the whole pitching staff sucks, right? They've given up 41 home runs in 24 games, man. That's the most in baseball by far. And then as far as the bullpen, they are the worst pen in baseball with a minus 2.1 war, which is like the next team's like at a minus 0.8. They've given up 24 home runs as a pen, and they got the second worst ERA in the majors at 6.52, and second worst in K per nine and home runs per nine. So, I mean, yeah, the whole pen is like, that's the problem when they say fire Kapler. It's like, well, I mean, even if Bochy was managing this team and he was a master of the bullpen, he might have two more wins, maybe. But that's
this
it.
Was,
like,
this was my comment to somebody else. I was like, what baseball genius manager do you think would come in and then make the Giants a winning team?
Yeah.
Like, we could get fucking Tug McGraw and bring him in, and he won't make this team a fucking 500 ball club. I'm sorry. We could get the goddamn greatest manager of all time. And we will not make this team 500. So why are we shitting on Kapler? Why are we not understanding that we're just a bad team this year? Like,
it's just a bad team. He's got
it's
crap
just
to deal
a
with.
Bad team, man. Yeah. This shit happens. Like, if you gave Bill Belichick a shit ton of bad fucking football players, he's not going to win the Super Bowl, man.
No.
It does. I'm sorry. You know, Michael Jordan is why the fucking Bulls won. And in baseball, yes, it's more of a team sport, but we need a bunch of people. We need a lot of people, and we got no people right now. I mean,
our best player, so for those of you,
our best player is sitting the season out. So
yeah,
there you go.
You have that problem too. So yeah, for those of you calling for Kapler's head, first of all, what Willie just said, I completely agree with. And number two, who's going to make it better? Like, no one's going to make it better. Yeah, there are definitely things that Kapler's done, decisions he's made that I've completely disagreed with. Things that I really wish he had done differently. Like Gausman, the one game he started and he had 80 pitches after six innings. They were leading 2-0. They end up losing that game with the bullpen. Again, the bullpen shit the bed. His last pitch was 99.3 miles per hour. And he takes him out. And he's like, well, basically because of his knee injury, right? That's why he was on the IL last year or whatever.
He's trying to protect him.
He's trying to protect him. And so he could ramp up his pitches for the rest of the year. The rest of the year, he might have 4 or 5 starts. It's a short season. Yeah. What are you talking about? So it's things like that that kind of tick me off.
For the rest of his career. I honestly think that Kapler is not managing to win games this year.
Yeah.
I think this 100%. And I know it's frustrating, but I don't think he's managing to win games this year. I think he's managing to put people into positions that he wants them to be in next year.
And it could be something that
in the year after that. Like, I think he wants Gott to deal with this. I think he wants Gott to, like, hey, you want to be a closer in the big leagues? You're going to blow 3 saves in a row? I think he's going to put him out there tomorrow.
It's like,
and
the
he's
kid.
Gonna say, yeah, guess
kid
what?
Kid who was caught smoking. He's like, oh, you want to smoke? All right, here's a pack. Smoke it all now.
I think that's how Kapler is managing this Giants team. Like, he doesn't give a fuck. He doesn't give a fuck about winning one game. He cares about putting these guys into positions that they're going to have to be in down the road. And, you know, like you could say, like, oh, he's giving too much time to the veterans. I also think he's trying to give Hunter Pence his last moments.
Yeah.
I think he doesn't give a shit about where we end up in the standings. I think he's managing to be the guy in the clubhouse that everybody loves because he's given them their moments, right? I don't know if I disagree with that.
Yeah.
As a tactic when it comes to this season. Like, Hunter Pence, this might be your last year, buddy.
Especially with his performance
this year.
Let's
let you go. You go 0-17. I'm still throwing you out there. You're my DH.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like.
Well, I think it circles back to
do that.
I think it circles back to Farhan Zaidi, right? He was hired because he is definitely he pulls off good trades. He has a good analytical mind. He did wonders for the Dodgers organization. I mean, look at some of those guys like Justin Turner et al. That he drafted. Or I shouldn't say drafted. He signed him as a reclamation project, and they were able to tweak his swing and look what he's doing now.
Not to mention some of their draft picks.
So, and I do think that Gabe Kapler and everyone kind of had this feeling that the reason he really went with him, besides all of the chaff that he came with and the baggage he came with, and that he was unpopular, and the reason he was fired from Philadelphia was because he didn't know how to manage a bullpen there. That was the main reason he was fired. And so we saw all those warnings on the wall, but he's a yes man, right? He is very much takes orders, kind of does what Farhan wants to do. He's an analytical guy himself. And I think there might be something to it where this year Farhan is like, look, man, we're trying to develop these players for the future. We'll get some good draft picks. I'll pull some trades. Winning is important this year, you know, but let's protect these arms. Let's protect these kids. Let's develop some of the younger talent. And yeah, it could be he's managing more in that style for the long term. He's not going to get fired this year. We all know that. He's got a 3-year contract. He's definitely going to go into next year. Yeah, he's not getting fired this year, guys.
Sorry, you read it.
It's not going to
fire him.
No, no. So his job is safe. So Kapler doesn't have to worry about that. And so maybe he has some of that freedom to operate within. And that's why he's making some of these decisions. He's like kind of just doing what Farhan wants him to do. So, you know, it's not like Farhan's calling him in the dugout and say, do this.
I honestly think that it's just he's just kind of throwing shit against the wall. He's just trying stuff out. Like, I do think that he's, you know, there. Like people say, let the young kids play. Like, who are the young kids?
Right.
Who are the young kids we have? Like, we're
okay.
This
so
team is not going to be this team next year.
No, it's all. Not. But one of the things I wanted to talk about, I'll just jump to it right now, is why not Joey Bart?
Well, why not? Yeah. I mean, that's
that huge. One still perplexes me because at first they only had to wait 5 games, by the way.
Yeah.
To worry about the eligibility, the extra year
it's
of
time.
Eligibility.
Yeah, it's time.
So
right?
That passed, and now Farhan keeps saying, well, we just want him down to develop more. We just want him down to develop. What the hell? He's playing practice games. He's playing inter-squad games.
He's not even playing baseball. Yeah.
It's not even minor league baseball. So, okay, and the other thing, they had their star catcher opt out for the season. They signed 2 guys none of us had ever heard of before. Those 2 guys are struggling mightily right now. In fact, they already have 4 pass balls this year, the most they've ever had in a season. Right.
It's obviously because Trump and Heinemann are so good.
Yeah, they're so good. you know, and if they're afraid of him, I don't know. You know how like some management has always been afraid of calling up guys too early because they'll fail and it'll affect their development, blah, blah,
sure.
blah. By all accounts, Joey Bart has succeeded at every level. You look at the numbers. Yeah. Everyone, even the veterans during summer camp 2.0 are like, dude, this guy's ready. I mean, veterans are saying he's ready. He's like, he's better than me. Like, it's like Brandon Crawford and Belt saying he's good. And so,
so
I don't know why they're keeping
the
him down.
Angels for 3 more games, then the D-backs. Then the Dodgers again. Yeah, but I want to see Joey Bart against their major league pitching for sure.
I want to see him up, and I don't know what they're doing right now, and it's something that I can't wrap my head around. And he was obviously the 4th pick, I think, overall pick that year that the Giants took. The other top 3 have all made their major league debuts. So I mean, it's not like he's behind the curve. He's 23 years old. It's time.
That's a good point. By the way, can we talk about the fact that Madison Bumgarner is basically done as a as a major league pitcher?
Hey, you know, we talked about him last episode, but that was before his last start, which he got blown up again, like 6 runs or whatever, and 4 bombs, and he went on the IL. Yeah, I'm worried.
Feels real bad, doesn't it?
I feel real bad for him, man. I mean, I don't think anyone saw this coming. You saw the decline in the numbers. You knew that he was on the backside of his career, but this is like a precipitous, like if
like,
I really hope it's an injury that can be fixed and he'll somehow come back. Not this year. It's such a short year. There's no way. I don't think he's, even if he does come back, I don't think he's going to perform well. I do hope that he comes back next year strong.
I don't know how it works in Major League Baseball, but like if he just walks away, does he just not get paid?
You know what? I mean, that's a good question. Like if he just retired, I don't think he gets paid. I think it does have to be obviously injury, right? He stays injured and he's on the IL forever, or they let him go. They waive him, right? They DFA him. But if he quits, I don't think he gets paid.
Cause obviously like 2014 cemented him as like one of the all time greats when it comes to postseason pitching. But again, it's like Rob Nen, right? Like you blew your arm out trying to get that title.
Yeah.
And now, sorry. You did it. At least he got the title. Rob Nen didn't get the title, but
nope. It's just sad to see. Yeah, he's got a 9.5 ERA,
you know,
17 innings pitched,
poured,
7 bombs.
6 Coors Lights down his gullet after winning the World Series. Like, I don't know. He did more than most people did in their lifetime. It's sad, but it's understandable.
Yeah. Hey, look, pitchers, you know, even Roger Clemens would, you know, get blown up a start or two, something like that. The issue though is more about his velocity. Last year, his average fastball was still just above 90. Even though earlier in his career it was 93, it had been dropping, but he was still effective.
People talked about him like a hard thrower.
Yeah.
Even when he was young, it was like 94.
Yeah. But you know what it was with the Diamondbacks this year? The average?
It wasn't. Yeah, he was never.
It was 86, man.
People talk about like a hard thrower, but like he never really was. Like,
yeah, but 86, that's getting down to that territory.
No, I know. No, now he's got to figure out some Kirk Reeder shit. Like,
yeah, I was about to say it's like visions
really
of Kirk
good
Reeder
at fielding his position. It's basically what he's at right now.
Oh man,
which is why like a guy like Nolan Ryan is so absolutely insane, right? Is like. Yeah.
How still throwing bullets up at age 45. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, or Satchel Paige. Mm-hmm. There was 50s, actually, yeah. I saw this thing the other day where they were like, Satchel Paige actually threw something like 40 no-hitters. Because you don't know about all the Negro League no-hitters he threw.
Sure.
Oof. That's crazy, man. And he pitched until he was like 50.
Yeah, that's the big thing. He was pitching late, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I got a friend who I played ball with in high school, but then I played with him in the amateur leagues for years. I stopped playing 4 or 5 years ago because of family and, you know, being gone for doubleheaders every
Sunday.
Come
on, you stopped playing because you're
old. That, definitely not it. He's still playing now.
Can you still take a grounder right now?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
If I hit a grounder to you right now, you think you just get that thing, you trap it, and you just, yeah?
And if it was 20 feet,
first base,
if it's 20 feet to my left,
it over to first
no.
Base.
Oh, my arm is great right now. And I'm
Come
not joking
on, Chad,
about that.
You're old.
But he's still
old,
playing.
Chad.
He's playing in this.
We're both old. It's not just you. I'm old, too. All right. Go ahead. Sorry.
No, he's playing in this. He plays in a lot of tournaments when the leagues aren't going on. And so he plays on this one tournament team that they kind of travel around the country. I don't know where he gets the money to do this because they got to pay their way to go to Florida and Arizona and all that. But Oil Can Boyd is on his team. He plays
what?
With Oil Can Boyd.
No way,
yeah. He's like That's freaking awesome. 60-something years old and he's still
what
playing
the
it.
Hell?
So on Facebook, I mean, he's always
he's
got pictures of him and Oil Can himself. In the dugout because they're both pitchers. They both start each, you know, like they switch games.
Yeah, he's still probably better than everybody else.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey.
That's awesome.
What I thought I was going to do with baseball.
I mean, imagine. Okay. I think Barry Bonds could right now come back in and be a DH for somebody.
I think so, too. He's keeping himself in impeccable shape.
What is he like 52? Something like that? Like, yeah.
I don't know. Something like that. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think he could do it. I think he could do it. But
look, Trout is sweet, but Barry Bonds could probably still jack. More home runs. He wouldn't be able to, you know, steal second, play right field, but.
Yeah, but he could DH now for the Giants. That's the whole thing, right? I mean, yeah, when he was retiring, everybody was like.
We should do that this year. We should just bring back Barry Bonds. That would be so sick. Just
oh, man, it'll bring so many Barry more Bonds. Fans into the stands. Oh, wait.
Just bring back Barry Bonds for this year, you know? Oh, my God.
Oh, God. Wouldn't that be something? Oh, that would be. I would definitely watch that. That's prime time TV, baby.
Every Giants fan would be so into it. Every other fan would hate it, but
yeah, you know. Of course they would. On another note, Willie missed it, but Eric and I participated in the first Giants trivia run by Thomas Todd of Giants Pod. Our friends over at that podcast. They're actually coming back to life. They've been recording a few episodes, so. You don't have to go listen to their podcast necessarily.
Give it up
just
to
stay
Pod.
Here. But no, Thomas is running an online trivia. He was a contestant on Jeopardy many years ago, and he's just been this trivia guy going to the bars all the time. So he started an online trivia company.
Hold on, what?
You didn't know all this?
He was a contestant on Jeopardy?
Yeah. Yes. Absolutely. I know,
okay.
Right?
Did he win or
no? He did not. He was he only appeared one time, and actually, I don't know if he was second or third. But
I mean,
he did
but
only
still,
appear
getting
one time.
There is actually kind of a thing.
Yeah, because he is a bit of a trivia buff. That's kind of how he qualified for it. He's really good at this. So he set it up. So he didn't actually participate, of course, because he set it up and wrote all the questions. But his partner, Danny, and his parents, who were on Zoom, which was great because all these guys were throwing F bombs, and these two old people are sitting there just like listening to us. Danny Thomas is like, hey, let's slow down on the F-bombs. The Zarchies are watching. No, it was a few other some media members that I'd never heard of, but they're like younger Giants fans. And then a few other fans that are just friends of Thomas. So we had five teams overall. And Eric and I took it. We won. So that was, that felt good. Hell no yeah. Trophy. Just bragging rights. Torch just bragging gas, rights. Baby. That's all it is. So that was good. That was a good time. So they're gonna have another trivia contest in I think another 2 or 3 months. So we'll tweet that information out now that we have a better idea of how it works. It's all on Zoom. We all go to our breakout rooms and discuss. We come back. There's lightning rounds. The whole thing. It's Thomas does a good job setting it up. He's good at that. So we'll have Willie next time, and we'll dominate the competition even more. Because we missed a few, which maybe you would have known. Quick, what two Giants hit 37 home runs since 2000 besides Barry Bonds?
Sorry, hold on.
Oh.
Okay, wait, what was the question?
Willie left his desk there for a second. It was just one of them that we missed. We missed one of the two. Okay. Who are the two Giants since 2000 that have hit 37 home runs exactly and not named Barry Bonds?
The two Giants who hit 37 not named Barry Bonds?
Yeah, since 2000.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's actually... Okay, Rich Aurelia?
Correct.
And... Jeff Kent.
Very good. See, you would have helped us out.
God damn, I wish I was there.
we had Jeff Kent, and we completely blitzed on Aurelia. We said we were like Ellis Burks, so we put in Ellis Burks. So we got like almost a perfect score in that first round. That was the one point we missed. We got 11 out of 12. So see, we'll have Willie next time. It'll be all good.
Wait, all right. What did you guys think?
We said Jeff Kent and Ellis Burks. That's we missed that one point.
Oh,
that
Ellis
one round.
Burks. No, yeah. No. The most he hit was 33.
Yeah, we just totally forgot about that one year. Aurelia went bananas.
Yeah, hit
in front of Bonds. Yeah. Plus, he might have had a little chemical enhancement. Who knows? Well, there were some rumors, but
dude,
nothing
I
proven.
I didn't look up anything. I just knew that.
No, that's the whole thing, right? You can't look up anything and. That's one we just kind of blanked out on. But we pulled some winners out of our asses, man. We actually,
dude,
it was kind of scary.
Did I really just get that right?
Yeah, you got them both. See, you would have, if you were with us, you would have made us a perfect score that
God,
first round.
We would have destroyed everybody. Well, you guys destroyed everybody anyway.
But, yeah, we won anyway. So we were hamstrung and we still won. So it's all good. So we'll have Willie next time. So
yeah.
All right, roster moves. Not a whole lot of exciting stuff since August 9th through the 17th.
Oh, no, there's roster news.
Today?
Yeah, no, our catcher is now our closer.
Oh. Tyler Heineman. He's got a good whip. Let's get him out there. Yeah. That was actually fun watching him pitch because, I mean, he wasn't even striding at all. He was just lobbing it in there. And he even said he was. He's like, I was just lobbing it in. I was just trying to throw strikes. And he was. It looked like he was just like, here you go. I think sometimes as a hitter, you might be trying a little too hard, right? You're like, oh, I'm going to crush this. And these guys were swinging and missing at some of these 67-mile-an-hour curveballs. It was beautiful. Beautiful. But he was hit hard, just right at people. And then Dubon made that great diving catch in center field and doubled off the runner off second. Otherwise, that would have been a run there. But let's see. We had Abiato Avellino DFA'd. Right-handed pitcher Jordan Humphreys put on the restricted list. Center fielder Luis Alexander. Basabe, I don't even know how you pronounce it. That was part of that White Sox trade that they pulled off. And apparently they think it was a really good one. In fact, he already ascended to the number 14 prospect in the Giants organization. And they basically got him for nothing. So these are the little things that hopefully Farhan is pulling. That's going to help the Giants, you know, be a better team in about 15 years.
Yep.
At least that's what it feels like.
We're looking about 5 years ahead right now.
Yeah, no, it's true. Andrew Suarez was committed to the alternate training site. Hondell Gustave, they traded cash to the White Sox. That was the second part of the transaction for Basabe. Jarlin Garcia was activated from the 10-day injured list. They designated Andrew Triggs for assignment, so he's gone. They optioned Rico Garcia to the training site. They optioned Connor Menez. They recalled Trevor Cahill, who's starting today, I believe. So I'm really interested in his start today. Of course, they recalled Derek Rodriguez, who got blown up. They invited, never heard of this guy, right-handed pitcher Jake Jewell to spring training. Right, they optioned Derek Rodriguez back down, and then they sent Avelino outright to the training site because he cleared waivers. And then they recalled Steven Duggar, and he's on the roster right now. So, yeah, nothing too exciting. I think that trade for Basabe, who's a pretty good hitter, is going to be interesting down the road. But we have to see how these guys develop. Again, I want to see Bart come up this year. Luciano's looking good. I don't think he's ready yet, but they have some exciting prospects. I think, you know, it'll be fun to start seeing these guys in the next couple of years. But again, like you said, I don't think the Giants are going to be competitive for at least 3 or 4 years. Kind of sucks. All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for episode 203 of the Torchcast. We should be back next Monday around noontime Pacific or so. We'll have a Facebook Live going. We just couldn't get it going up today. But until then, you can follow us collectively at TortureCast. Also like us on Facebook there. You can follow us individually, myself at ChadK21. Willie, of course, at Willie Dills. Okay. And Eric, who could not make it today, at Two Out Hitsets with the number 2. Everything is posted up on TortureCast.com. You know how to get the podcast if you're listening to it right now. Don't need to mention that. Willie, what do you got going on? Anything for them to check out?
Yeah, I mean, just check me out on twitch.tv/WillieDills and Twitter, WillieDills. There is some stuff in the pipes, so there might be news to share next time. But for right now, just check me out in those places.
Awesome. Yeah, and we have some kind of interesting corporate sponsorship things coming up for TortureCast. Things have been delayed a little bit, but hopefully we'll get to get that out to you guys and talk to you about some new opportunities that our podcast might have to kind of grow a little bit and be a little bit more prominent, I guess, in the Giants community. So we'll just leave it at that. But for Willie and for the missing Eric, this is Chad signing off, and we'll see you next time for 204. A-boom.
A-boom.
A big thank you to everybody for listening to the TortureCast, the podcast by and for fans of the San Francisco Giants. Follow us on Twitter at TortureCast. You can also like us on Facebook or check out our blog at TortureCast.com. I also want to say thank you to Ashcon and Bailey for letting us use their song Feeling Like a Giant for our intro. For Ben Lee and Chad King, my name is Willie Dills saying we'll see you next time.